This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. The Alexandria location is now open and taking appointments. Got a new spot in Ashburn, Virginia as well. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Eric Bickle. That's the foursome. Every morning at 7, we hit the skins. Join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotlines. Our buddy John Keim covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. 6-3, John. They're sitting pretty.
Yeah, yes, they are. Listen, and it's funny because they're 6-3, and like all you hear is how bad they are, and you know, I mean, there are players who aren't happy with what they're showing, which I think is a good sign. But you know, you check social media, and I don't know that you'd guess they were 6-3.
Well, would you? I saw something today where when a team gives up that many yards, the prediction, like the probability, is that you give up 35 plus points.
Yeah, no, and I mean, they clearly were okay with, to a degree, with Tampa Bay driving the ball the way they were. And you saw it in the way the corners were playing off of guys like DeSean Jackson. Now, sometimes there was way too much cushion, and not just too much cushion, but nothing after, you know, an inability to drive on the ball to prevent any extra yards. So that was, that's, you can't just say, well, they were happy with giving up 500. You can't be, and they weren't. But I think, you know, with Ryan Fitzpatrick, what they knew is that he's going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. This is what he does. So he can move the ball. He will make mistakes. And that's what he did. But yeah, even that all said, it's still, you know, it takes a lot to have 500 yards and only 3 points. And it wasn't just because of red zone defense, it's because they screwed up a few times. So, but yeah, kind of a weird game.
They got some help, certainly. There's no question about it. Let's talk about that offensive line, you know, a patchwork unit. I know a lot of us were really worried. Adrian Peterson didn't put up big numbers, but he had some big runs in the second half. Continues to impress me when given holes and given the opportunity. How'd you think overall? These guys keep looking at me funny because while there are no chunk plays in this offense, we see that, right? They don't have the explosiveness. I still think there's a lot out there. I still think they could score points.
They stink.
It's going to be longer drives, but it's not going to be 3 plays for 74 yards, right? A 50-yard play, typically. But there's no reason why they can't score more points.
Well, there isn't, but those plays have been there for a while, and they're not being made. So yeah. I think the question is, will they ever make those plays? And, you know, they don't have a quick strike offense. They don't have a guy who right now is going to take that short pass and turn it into a long game. It's just not, they don't have guys who are going to win that quick off the line to create that sort of separation. Some of what you see are plays that are opening up downfield that are there, but maybe Smith isn't comfortable staying in the pocket to wait for those to develop. You know, or maybe he's getting some pressure that's moving him off the spot a little bit, whatever. But yeah, I mean, you do see plays every game where you say, okay, you hit this and this, maybe you're getting something more out of this, out of the game in terms of points or whatever. So yeah, I do see things that are there, but the question is, when will they start hitting them? And I don't know if they will. I think it'll help when you get guys like Crowder and Thompson back, especially a guy like, you know, Chris Thompson can take those short gains and turn them something long. We saw that last year. He does have the ability to make guys miss, and that's not – Capri Bibbs, I think, has done a good job.
But yeah, I agree.
Thompson does some things that are different that I think this offense can use as well. So it's there. But going back to the line, I thought the line did a good job, all things considered. And I was just watching it again this morning. I've gotten through the first half. And I thought Jonathan Cooper was really good for all things considered, especially not just, I mean, you know, he had a holding penalty. He had another one in the second half. But just in little things like the way he was able to pass off stunts, he and Ty Inseki were in their first game together, and you really couldn't tell that just based on the way they were able to execute on some of those plays. And so you have to give them a lot of credit. I think the big drop-off you're going to see is at right guard from Brandon Scherff to Bertram, because Brandon Scherff was playing at a high level. I mean, it's hard to replace that, but given what they had to go through, I mean, you'd have to say they held up their own.
Yeah, I was impressed. I think one way that they score more points is by cutting down on the penalties. And I think they've had 19 in the last 2 weeks. And a lot of holding penalties. Now, I know we got issues there in the offensive line, but they can clean that up. There's no question.
Well, you would think, and they have to, and if this offense gets in a hole, it's going to be hard to get out of it. And that's why, if you get, whatever anybody thinks of the Doxson penalty last week, if it was good or bad, it was called. And those kind of plays, they can't afford when you have a big play to get pushed back. Or a holding penalty on a first down. They just can't. The other part that hurt them the other day were the negative runs on first down, where they're now second 11, second 12. This is an offense that needs to get 3 to 4 yards on first down out of those runs to stay in a positive down and distance, because they're not explosive. And I think the penalties, and I think the first down runs and, last year I felt like they needed to throw the ball more on first down because their runs weren't very good on first down. And they were better at throwing the ball on first down. This year they haven't been a really good team throwing the ball on first down. So I think that needs to improve as well. Because if you can get that, now you're getting a chance to get into the second shorts where you have more of a chance to then maybe go down the field a little bit more and, in a favorable situation. But they're not really creating enough of those types of situations.
We're joined by John Keim, covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. You touched on Crowder. He's been out for 5 straight games now. Couldn't be worse timing for him personally. He's an unrestricted free agent after this season. What are the chances of him being back this Sunday against Houston? And what sort of market do you think he's facing once the season's over?
As far as Sunday, it's hard to say with him because, he seemed like he was a lot closer last week, but he's still having trouble coming in and out of his cuts. That's, a problem for a slot receiver, because that's what he does. And the strength of his game is creating separation in and out of those cuts. So I don't know. They were having him go for another MRI just to make sure everything's on schedule and it's okay. So I think they're hoping that he can get back out there and practice and show more this week. So I don't know, but it certainly seems like it's soon, but it felt like it was soon last week too. As far as his market in the offseason, I mean, this certainly isn't going to help it. And I don't know how deep the receiver market's going to be. I think the hard part for Jameson is that he has been a guy who has some of those nagging type of injuries over the last couple of years. So I don't know that, I think that will probably, will hurt him a little bit. Without really kind of studying it, it's hard to know what that market will bear for him. I know some of the slot receivers got some pretty good deals last year, Jarvis Landry in particular, but he's a highly productive guy in terms of numbers. And I think that clearly helped him. Jameson does some things well, but he's just got to get back out there and kind of remind people. I thought this was going to be a really good year for him, injuries aside. But it hasn't developed the way I thought it was going to. So I think if he can go out and finish strong, it certainly helps him for his market.
So Houston has won 6 straight, and they're probably the second or third hottest team in football right now. Now, they haven't played a tough schedule, but they're just beating the teams that they have to, and kind of in a similar way that the Redskins are. Their defense is playing really well. They're 6 in the league against the run. Washington 5, so they're right there neck and neck with Washington against the run. Secondary is really good. We all know about Watt and Clowney and all those guys. This will be a tough game. This will be a challenge.
Yes, it will be. And I think, because it's part of it too, is it's just always about a matchup. And, I felt like Tampa Bay, on paper, it looked like a bad matchup. But when you look at it, it's like I thought it was a better matchup than just because of the Fitzpatrick angle. He's going to turn it over, and their defense wasn't very good. But anyway, but with this one, I think this is a tough matchup for them because of where Houston is really strong. They have, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is obviously a great receiver, and Watson's ability to extend plays, I think, is makes for a dangerous combo. And they haven't, you know, against the pass, I think that there's obviously been some struggles, especially with Quentin Dunbar, you know, dealing with his injury. So I think that's going to be tough. And then when you do have a line that, while I think they held up well, this is a bigger challenge because of the Clowney-Watt angle. And if they're not able to stay in positive down and distance situations, it could be a long day. And, you know, Morgan Moses was out there playing with a big brace on his right leg the other day. He's clearly not 100%. And, you know, how will that go for him? I mean, it's a tough assignment for both tackles with those guys. So I think this is a very, very, very tough matchup. As you know, I mean, should make for a fun game.
The Texans have only allowed
three score points.
Texans have only allowed three rushing touchdowns in 9 games.
That's pretty good. And that's why I say I think this is a tough matchup for the Redskins. And, you know, I don't know if it will be Atlanta-New Orleans situation, but I think it's a tough situation. You know, Houston's a good team. And, you know, whatever their schedule has been, I think they're playing really well. And when you watch them, they can score. They do have some explosiveness, and that will make it difficult.
I don't want to say that this game is not important. They all are. But if you're going to lose one of the next 3, this is the one to lose, obviously, because then
AFC.
Right. You got Dallas, and then you've got Philly the next 2 after that. Those are the biggies.
Yeah, exactly. And this game will not determine their season, win or lose. I mean, if they win, I think that could be a huge pickup for them because,
right. You
know, just because of, you know, Philly's playing at New Orleans and Dallas is playing at Atlanta. Those clearly aren't gimmies for those teams. So they could put themselves in a really good situation, but you can really, you know, you're right. The following 2 weeks are when you can really create the distance because if you lose here, you go into Dallas and you beat Dallas. Now you've swept them and they would be at, you know, a few games back with and having been swept. And if you can go to Philly and beat them, then it's, you know, you might be putting a stake in their season a little bit. So, you know, yeah, I think those 2 games are massive. So.
Mm-hmm. John, do you put any stock? I guess some of the guys are upset, obviously, the Josh Norman comments. I think maybe DJ kind of chimed in on some of this. Chris Thompson, guys sort of upset about the fan support. It never really bothers me because all players want unwavering support 100% of the time. So to me, it's like no big deal. It's pretty standard. But they seem pretty upset about it all.
I think they've noticed it a lot this year, and it has been noticeable. I mean, I think the surprise to me is when Green Bay comes to town, Dallas comes to town, you expect a big contingent. Mm-hmm. It's just that they're getting it every week now when, you know, when there's a lot of Falcons fans or a lot of Panthers fans. Mm-hmm. And I think that's some of the stuff that's probably driving them nuts. And I don't know. The hard part is fans know why they're not going. I don't think players really understand why they're not going. They just know they're not there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think you can look at it and say, you know, both sides have a point. I mean, it is an expensive place. And now there are other places that are expensive as well. There are places that are bad stadiums as well, and people are going. But, you know, the Redskins have kind of decided not to sell on the secondary market, you know, with the discounted tickets and all that. It's going to make it harder to fill. They're trying to honor their season ticket holders by doing that. It is, you know, and then you add up all the other reasons, and, you know, we all know that you hear it on social media from some of the fans with their thoughts and feelings toward the organization and why they're not going. So there are a lot of reasons. And I mean, everybody's got their own. And if it's your reason, it's a good reason. But for players, all they see is a bottom line in this situation.
Right.
So, and it is, you know, if you're a player, you want it to be, you want your home stadium to be a place that's feared to come and gives you energy and all that. I mean, that's what they would want. Who doesn't want that?
Right. You'd think it'd be a little bit more support because, you know, just go back to 2012. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, and this town was on fire, right? But
yeah, well,
they just, you know, with this team, people just aren't buying in. The offense is so anemic that people are just like, you know what, I'm going to wait. That's what I think.
Yeah, Well, I think that's definitely part of it. I mean, and I'm not, it's hard for me to say because I'm paid to go to every game.
Right, of course.
I don't have to make the decision to spend several hundred dollars to go to a game. So I'm not going to criticize at all because that's not my job to criticize people who are paying money. But I do think like it does seem like there's a lack of buying in because of that offense. And you look around the league, it's like the league is, you know, this year you can look at that. It's kind of exciting with the way the Rams are playing, the Saints, the Chiefs, and these guys are winning in an old fashioned way. And can they sustain that? I think that's the hard part, but they are winning. And, you know, we've kind of gone here from saying, well, we want them to win to, well, they have to win better. Mm-hmm. They're 6-3. That's the bottom line. And, you know, but it's not an exciting style of ball. So I think what this team needs to do, if you're going to play this way, I think you're going to have to keep winning, obviously. And then I think you have to do something in the playoffs to get people truly excited about what might come. And listen, Alex Smith is not a guy who's going to generate a ton of excitement. And that's not a knock on him. It's just the way his game is. And what he does well, which, you know, one of the things is not turning the ball over. I mean, it's kind of hard to sell season tickets on. Come watch us not turn it over.
Right.
You know, and so that's not a knock. It's just reality. And I think if you're a lot of places, like if you're a Cleveland fan, you're buying into the hope of Baker Mayfield. That's, you know, so you're buying into the present because you know the future could be really good.
Plus he's exciting. And I mean,
yeah, exactly. And so, you know, again, the goal here is your goal in this league is to win games. And they have. And while they have been blown out a couple times, they've won. They're 6-3. And, you know, is that good enough to get people there? I mean, you know, they can answer that on their own. But that is. But I do think you're right. I mean, I think it's not the most exciting style of ball. But, you know, so it's going to be harder to generate the level of excitement that I think other teams may already be feeling.
But I will say this, John, I have learned, you know, as being a lifelong football fan, it has never been more obvious to me than it has been this year how valuable not turning the football is. I mean, like Alex Smith has really made that, driven that point home for me anyway.
Well, look at the other day. I mean, Fitzpatrick throws for what, 400 yards?
Yeah.
3 points.
Three turnovers.
Smith has a 178, and the, you know, now they only got 16, but they did get the win. And this is a stat that I like to point to. This year, there have been only four drives that the opposing team has started in Redskins territory. Just four. That's like
huge.
Second or third. It's second or third in the NFL. Last year, there were 23 such drives. Mm-hmm. So this, to me, is not like – I think the defense is playing well, but I don't view them yet as a shutdown defense. And I think they're building – they can build toward that. I think they have parts, but they don't have that Khalil Mack. They don't have – you know what I mean? So I don't know that they're at that level. They are a good defense. And when you take a good defense and you force teams to drive 75 yards – most of the time, it is difficult.
Right.
Teams are going to make mistakes, and that's what they're doing. So the combination of the turnovers and Tressway and his gunners, I'm going to give them credit, Danny Johnson, Jehu Chesson, because I think they do a good job too, but that combination has helped overall. And it is, there are a lot of like, you know, in the last couple of years, they could throw the ball, but they didn't play good defense. Their field position was an issue. So there's some special teams breakdowns. So they're kind of the opposite of what they've been. The lack of turnovers is massive. Then I think the other stat I found, like in the 5 years that Smith was in Kansas City, the Chiefs were like, I think second behind New England in terms of number of turnovers, the fewest number of turnovers. And you definitely can trace that. That is one thing he does well. And it's not to say he can't do other things better or that you don't want more, but that is one area that he helps.
Mm-hmm. John, great stuff. We appreciate it. We're late. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right. It's John Kime, everybody. ESPN.com. Awesome.
I think you just got to come to grips. You're going to win. You're going to win ugly.
Yep.
But don't you feel like
I'm holding out? We're going to score some more points.
I mean, I know you want to beat Houston, but it doesn't really kill you if you lose it.
Nope.
It's almost gravy if you win it because the critical games are the 2 weeks after that.
Although if you beat Houston, you're to 7.
No, I know.
With six games left.
You certainly won it, but it's not like
the problem is, Jason, I've been here before where this team's had 6 wins and then they swoon. So I'm afraid
certainly
one
possible.
Can turn into a swoon.
Certainly possible.
If you want to chime in, you can call us on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning list of lines at 800-636-1067.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Thank you to John Keim joining us at 7 o'clock as we hit the skins. Brian Baldinger is going to join us at 8:40. To talk some NFL. Chris Miller on the Wizards at 9 o'clock. I saw the Junkies Pulse poll today.
What is it?
On NBCS Washington.
What is the question? I need to
know.
About
the Wizards. All Wizards, right. Of course, got their second straight win yesterday. Are the Wizards finally getting the hang of things after their two-game win streak?
I mean, they beat the Heat and the Magic. Let's not go crazy.
Who are the next three or four games against? For the opponents.
Options, by the way, are yes.
Well, Cleveland next.
No, and need to see more. I'm going to say yes.
I am
now, I'm not saying they're going to rip off a 10-game winning streak, but I think...
How quickly do they get to 500?
It might take 15, 20 games.
So you think they get to 15 and 15?
I think they're better than they were last year. And last year they finished 500. So there's no reason to believe that this team is just going to tank and be a 30-win team.
They're not going to get to 15.
I'm voting for need to see more. I need to see more.
I would agree.
I can't be satisfied with a two-game win streak.
To get to 15 and 15, they need to go 11 and 6.
Need to see more.
Yeah, I don't see 11 and 6. But the next four the next three are all at home. Cleveland, Brooklyn, Portland. Next four, then they play the Clippers. This is a five-game home stretch here.
Retweeted at Junks Radio. You know, we were just talking to John Kime about the Redskins players and their thoughts on the fan base and the fan base not being that positive even though the team is 6-3. Wizards fan base chiming in so far, just flat out say no. 54%. 37% seem to be more. I'm in the 9% that say yes. I believe they've turned a bit of a corner. And I'm just putting it on John Wall. Look, all the talk that he was out of shape, and maybe that's true. It's hard to tell. You know, it does look a little bit puffy. I don't know what he weighs in regularly at and what he weighs in during a season. But maybe he is rounding into shape. And Bradley Beal, after the game, I mentioned this quote before,
well,
said,
let's be honest, he's not puffy. A-Wad is puffy. Okay. Call John Wall puffy.
But relative,
a little bit of a
relative
shot
to when John Wall is playing at his best. Maybe he has put on a few pounds.
Definitely.
But Beal
thicker.
Said, you all pissed him off. That's all your fault. He's going to come out and play like Wolf Wall. That's what we needed him
Wolf
to do.
Wall.
I'm happy you all lit a little flame up under him. He got us going.
All right. Well, I'm going to venture to say, you know, he's playing well, of course. But the defense is a little bit better, marginally,
right?
Because they're only giving up 109, 110, whereas before they were getting up like 125. So
and part of that's Dwight Howard coming back.
They took it, the preseason is shorter, and maybe they took it too casually, and that's kind of our impression. We watch the Wizards a lot of times. Don't you feel like they seem like it's too cool to play defense? They just,
oh, yeah. They coast.
It's very casual. And when they have a crisis, and the crisis is you start off the season 2-8, then all of a sudden there's more focus and effort.
2-9.
And Scott Brooks figures a couple things out in terms of the rotation. You're getting that bench production now. I think they're turning a little corner.
But
now
it's
they're
the
playing
NBA.
Playing inferior opponents. I get it.
Right.
I mean, but they were losing to some of these teams before.
65-70% of the NBA sucks.
They lost to Orlando the previous game,
right? And they're going to be better than some of these teams on paper, but they're going to lose.
So they've got a
four-game
homestand. Cleveland, as you mentioned, is up next. Then Brooklyn comes to town, and they're without one of their better players now, Caris LeVert. So that helps the Wizards. Portland is here, and then the Clippers.
I'm going to get them to 500. By the midpoint of the season.
So by 20-20.
Yes.
Ish.
Yeah.
20-20 means
only five games under.
Right. 20-20 means they have to go 16-11.
Yeah, they can go 16-11. I mean, I haven't checked the schedule, but sure. Why not? I'll still hold out hope that Jason and I win that bet.
16-11.
We're not going to win
ball.
That.
45 games. No,
16-11 is ball.
16-11 is ball.
What do you think about this?
You think this team's capable of 16-11?
All right, I think offensively they might be, but defensively they haven't shown
that. And Dwight Howard's going to start playing better, and he's playing okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's see how they do in these next four.
Well, listen to this stretch starting right after Thanksgiving. Saturday, November 24th, the Pellies come to town, followed by the Rockets 2 days later. And then the Wiz go on the road and face the Pellies again, and then they're at Philly.
Well, you forgot Toronto. Toronto, they play at Toronto the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, at Toronto.
That's a tough stretch.
Brutal. They'd be lucky
to take advantage.
2-3 in that stretch.
But you know what?
Lucky.
Next four,
now they're going to win some
the
of those games.
The next four are all winnable.
Yes.
That's true.
I'm not saying they're going to win all four, but I would have them winning three
out
of four.
But how many times have they beaten teams, especially at home, that they had to win or they should win?
All the time. Last year it happened on the regular.
They don't beat every team that they're better than all the time. Are you crazy?
No, of course my point is that they lose to those teams all the time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So on paper, they're better than a lot of these teams, but they're going to lose to some of them.
Yeah, happened all the time.
Yeah, but they also beat teams that they shouldn't.
Correct.
They definitely
do. So I wouldn't be surprised if they beat the Pellies or beat Houston.
The Pellies are 500.
Yeah, they'll beat one of those teams. Yeah. Or a couple.
But yeah, but they're 500 against basically the Western Conference.
16-11.
Right. Better teams.
Like maybe it's not just a Redskins thing. Maybe it's just a D.C. thing that the D.C. fans just always go to the negative. I mean, I think that's really low, but only 9% believe that they are possibly turning the corner.
Well, they've got they've strung they together two wins in a row. That doesn't inspire a ton of confidence.
Okay, but it's early in the season. Maybe you do figure things out.
How can you say they're
turning
the corner?
It's just the same cast of donks.
You just don't know.
Generally speaking, it's basically the same dumb team.
Okay. Last year they won 41 games and John Wall missed half the season.
Yeah.
They should have been better.
Yeah. It's hard.
Year before they were a 5 seed, I believe.
Yeah.
Come on, EB. Get that Bullets fever, man. Come on. You're my guy in here.
Washington fans are not thinking about the Wizards. They're thinking about the Skins.
Caps.
Maybe the Caps.
Yeah, the Caps have been slumping.
Caps have overtaken the Wiz for me. More interested in the Caps.
How about the Terps? They got to win last night. Bruno Fernando had a nice double-double.
I haven't gotten into that yet.
It's quite early.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing North Carolina A&T.
Yeah, when you play an A&T.
I mean, they're playing North Carolina.
And North Carolina A&T.
That is, draws some interest. You throw the A&T on, usually a laugher.
I got to tell you,
they play Delaware.
Jalen Smith is just a long athletic freak.
Is he the Big Ten Player of the Week or Rookie of the Week? It was one of the two.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
But
he was one of those two things.
He and Bruno down low on the blocks together. Man, it's going
to
be.
So he's the new
It'll be impossible to get a rebound, and it'll be impossible to get a legitimate shot off in the paint.
Let's go to Patrick in Bealton real quick. Patrick, what's up, buddy? You're on the Junks. How are you?
What's up, buddy? How y'all doing?
Doing great.
What's up, Pat?
Hey, I got a couple bones to pick. Listen, I sat in Section 217. Seats 14, 15, 16, and 17. People in the stands were talking about it last year. Told Chad Dukes, told y'all, told Grant and Danny that they were tired of seeing this mess, tired of it. Then DJ Swearinger yesterday and Josh Norman, y'all need to shut your mouths. Y'all been here for 2 years. We've been here for 43 years. I've been through the worst. I've been through the best. I'm tired of seeing this junk. The fans are in a collusion with Daniel Snyder and Bruce Allen. They need to straighten their mess up. I'm tired of it.
Hold
I'm
the
not
fans
going
are
back.
In collusion? It's up, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? I don't think you're using the word
They're not going back.
Properly.
We're tired of seeing it.
I understand that.
Man,
but you say
in 25 years, we've been in the playoffs, what, three times? How many times we win?
I think it's five.
I think it's four or five, but not many, right?
Okay, four or five. How many times we win?
Not many.
Right, no, I understand the frustration. I'm just
interested
but listen,
this is what I'm saying. I run a business.
There's no collusion.
Okay,
like
I run a business.
Says, no
I would
collusion.
Just love for him to understand that. You know that you're using the word collusion incorrectly.
Well, I mean, I'm a little upset, so I might be a little bit wrong about it.
But, or a lot of bit wrong.
Right.
Or totally wrong.
Well, whatever. Look, I run a business, right? I run a business.
All right.
Okay.
Stop.
If I
stop.
Put
don't
out
say anymore. We have to bet
all right,
on
yeah,
don't
yeah, yeah,
say
yeah,
another word.
Stay on hold. I got
don't say another word.
Business.
You zip it. Call or zip it.
All right.
Did you put him on hold?
What business does he run?
Plumbing. He's a plumber. He runs his own plumbing business.
All right. I'm in on locksmith.
Locksmith is a good guess.
I'm going to say painter.
Oh, no. Can I change? He's HVAC guy.
It could be HVAC. My brother needs one.
No, he's HVAC. Mm. He runs his own HVAC.
I'm going to go with he's just a general handyman. He does
general
he does
handyman.
It all. Yeah. All right, he's a handyman guy.
I like painter. Patrick, what do you do for a living, my friend?
I refinish hardwood floors.
Hardwood floors. Damn. I need you at my house.
Mine's closest.
I need you at my house. Damn.
Could have got that.
Closest.
I got you, brother. Look me up. Google me. Damn services. That
will
see.
We can collude together.
Right. Collude on a silly
collusion,
price.
Collusion. Collusion.
Right. All right, Patrick, got to run. Thank you, buddy.
All right, brother.
All right.
Hey, go get that sander working. Get those floors nice and smooth.
That's a real man's job.
That's
right
a
there.
Manly man's yeah. job.
I think maybe he meant to say that fans are fed up.
No, I understand it's just the way he's saying it. He's just
and
using
they're
collusion
upset
on.
With Daniel Snyder.
They're not colluding with him. They're not colluding with him at all.
They've reached their breaking point, maybe. Yeah. Something mm-hmm. along those lines. Yeah. Would have worked better.
Hey, if you're managing your agency's network and looking to modernize, look no further than Hughes. Their managed SD-WAN solution leverages the power of broadband to connect remote offices, reduce service costs, and as a managed solution, it gives you, the agency, one throat to choke. Just imagine not having to juggle all those regional service contracts. Silly, right? Visit government.hughes.com/SD-WAN to learn more. That's government.hughes.com/SD-WAN.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106, having the fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. We'll get back to the Wizards at 9 o'clock. Chris Miller covers the Wizards on NBC Sports Washington. Joins us Brian Baldinger on the NFL at 8:40. And we got the morning skate with Chandler Stephenson at 9:45 as we talk some Caps, who I believe are back in action tonight.
They are. They're on the road at Minnesota.
They lost two straight?
They have, yes. All right. Both
gotta,
at home.
Got to get a win.
It all started with Cakes going to the game.
Yeah, not only me. Don't blame just me.
Also Awad.
Blame Awad yes. as well. Blame Awad, who had four tall beers and I believe two bags, gigantic bags of popcorn mm-hmm. during the game.
Yeah. All right, time now to gotta go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz. We do it every morning at this time, brought to you by the Purple Heart. There was a game last night. It was an awful Monday Night Football matchup because it was a two-win team against a one-win team. And now you have two-win teams because the Giants came back to beat the 49ers 27-23. Eli Manning led the Giants on a game-winning drive, hooks up with Sterling Shepard, had hooked up with Odell Beckham Jr. on two touchdowns earlier in the game. He finishes 19-31 with three touchdown passes. On the other side of the ball, Matt Breida goes off, but not enough to
beat me.
Jason's fantasy team.
He had 26 points last night. Not
he did his best.
Me.
He did
101 yards rushing with the touchdown. Also had 31 yards receiving and a touchdown. George Kittle puts up big fantasy numbers. 9 balls for 83. So the Giants get their second win of the season, and the 49ers drop to 2-8 on the year.
Barkley didn't do too much last night. I think he had 60 yards rushing, maybe 30 or 40 receiving. Yep. I mean, you know, right around that 100 yards total mark, but didn't score.
The Bills finally cut Nathan Peterman.
I mean, I guess they had to.
I mean, he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, statistically. I'm surprised it took this long.
Who's worse at his job, Nathan Peterman or Hugh Jackson?
Well, Hugh Jackson just...
it's close.
Yeah, Hugh Jackson's got a job.
Just got a job. He's joining the Bengals coaching staff. Hugh was 8-8 with the Raiders, right?
Think so.
As head coach?
I think he was.
That rings somewhat familiar.
I think he only had one season.
Why did he only last the one season? He and Al Davis got into it or something?
Probably.
I can't remember.
I don't know. I'd have to do the research on
that. Yeah, but I think he's coached everything. He's coached special teams. He's coached the secondary. He's been a running backs coach. I think he's been offensive coordinator. He's been all of that.
He's probably
for
just
Marvin
like,
Lewis.
He's probably like Norv Turner. Like, miscast as a head coach, really good offensive coordinator, good offensive mind.
Now, the Bengals.
He's always very likable in Hard Knocks.
You Bengals, can be likable all you want. Doesn't mean you're a great head coach.
I agree. I'm just saying I think he's likable.
Where's Mark Duffner? I just saw him.
Mark Duffner's a D coordinator with Tampa.
D coordinator with Tampa.
He looks so old. Yeah.
He did.
I mean, I just remember him at, you know, those pressers at Maryland, when we were there.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was like the young, you know, up and coming head coach.
Yeah.
And now he's the old guy.
Well, that coaching the Bucks defense ages you.
Yeah, it does.
Here's a little recall.
Well, we were college guys, NED. Yeah.
Here's a little recall on Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson was...
It seemed like that long ago to me.
He succeeded Tom Cable in 2011, but then the Oakland Raiders hired Reggie McKenzie as their new GM.
Oh, and the GM wanted his own
the
guy.
The new GM
decided to
get rid of him.
One more note before we get to five questions, which we do every Tuesday on
the
Junkies
Blitz.
Do we
love five questions?
I think we do. Oh, especially because JP comes up with the questions. We just have to answer them.
I don't remember any of them. I can't remember one question.
Well, no, I don't remember them either, but yeah. I like answering them.
Okay, I'll try.
All right.
It's topics. Topical. Who told us we need to be topical?
Oh, that was
Jay Stevens?
No, I think it was that guy Greg.
Greg Gillespie.
Oh, yeah.
However you pronounce his last name.
I hope he's still with us. Is he?
I thought he had passed. Did he pass?
No, he had like an illness.
I don't know.
I hope
he got sick, but all right, whatever.
Radio Insider.
But yes, he did say we had to be
more
topical.
He was our PD for like 20 days.
New Orleans Saints coach Sean Payton confirmed he smashed a fire alarm before Sunday's victory at Cincinnati's Paul Brown Stadium, saying, "I just needed the noise to stop. Fire alarms have been going off throughout the stadium for 10 minutes leading up to the game." That's on the regular in this building.
Oh, absolutely. This building loves nothing more than conducting fire drills all the time.
If there's ever a real fire, we'll all die.
So he smashed it before the game or after the game?
Before the game.
Oh, before the game.
After the game, he shouldn't smash it. They put up 50 points. Should have been happy.
No, I understand that, but I was just wondering what. I didn't know if it was before or after.
All right, five questions. We do it every Tuesday on the Junkies Blitz. I'll start with Lurch's question. Points out that the Patriots, for 8 straight years, have had a bye in the playoffs. Right now, you look at the AFC standings, and they would be playing in the wild card round because they're 7-3. Pittsburgh and San Diego, and of course the Chiefs, all have better records than the Patriots right now. But it's not much separation. Will the Patriots be playing in the wild card round this year?
Mm. Well, December 16th, they play in Pittsburgh, so that'll probably be the deciding factor, just based on the head-to-head.
I'm going to say yes, they're going to be playing in the wild card round. I don't watch it enough. I did see an article questioning Tom Brady's arm, like saying it's the beginning of the end, saying that in this past game he was throwing some flutter balls.
He's starting
and
to slip.
Nobody wants to say it because he's Tom Brady and people have doubted him
before. I said it with Peyton. I called it 5 years early on Peyton.
But it ends for everybody, and maybe he's lost a couple miles per hour off that fastball.
It's possible.
Generally, I would say they're going to be playing in Foxborough, but the fact that three of their next four are on the road and the fourth is at Pittsburgh in mid-December.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Might be tough
for
them.
Where on the road?
They're at the Jets.
Winner.
They should
winner.
Win that.
That's no big deal.
They're home against
they
the Vikings.
Vikings
win.
Will be tough.
They're at the Dolphins.
Winner.
Winner.
At the Steelers.
Well, they own the Steelers.
And then they're home to the Bills and the Jets.
Except
you know
in the regular season, the Steelers might trip
the game,
them up.
Aren't they?
They're going to be playing in Foxborough.
Yeah,
more look at the schedule.
Year. I'm with you.
But you do have two teams, the Chargers as well in the mix, and the Steelers. Chargers are 7-2. Patriots have the are trailing by half.
Yeah, but the Chargers would have to win the division to host, because if they have a better record but they don't win a division, they're still going to have to travel.
Good point.
I'm going to say Patriots beat the Steelers and host.
Yeah. Question number two.
I agree with that.
But who knows? I mean,
Jason,
the Steelers have been really good.
Jason mentioned this yesterday, that the Bears kicker, Cody Parkey, hit the crossbar four times.
Crossbar or the uprights?
Uprights, whatever the hell you want to call it.
The upright.
Different.
Four times.
The team apparently is thinking about sending him to Soldier Field to practice during the week. They practice at a practice facility, but they want him practicing at Soldier Field.
It was windier.
On the year, he's 13 for 18, 30 for 32. Is it the right move to stay with Parkey, or would you move on and find a new kicker? He's got a four-year, $15 million contract.
Wow, that's
he's
nice
13
money.
For
I'm sorry.
Kicker.
I move on. You can't trust him. You're going to be in the playoffs. Can't trust a guy who missed two extra points.
The new guy
and missed
you get.
Five.
How
field
long
goals.
Has he been there? Does he have a track record of being good with them? I've never even heard of the guy.
Whoever Cody Parkey on the Eagles,
whoever
squad?
They brought bring in to replace him, if they do, he's going to suck too. It's the reason not to have a job.
I mean, how long? We don't know how long the guy's been there.
Yeah, we do. We just have to look it up.
No, so we don't know is the answer.
JP's the king. JP's the king.
An expert on kickers.
I kind of am.
JP's the king of thinking that Pro Bowl kickers
he's
are just
there.
Out
this
on the street.
This is his first year. This is his first year.
He always wants to get rid of every single kicker and pretend that there's a silly all-pro.
Find a hot leg.
Yeah, whoever you replace him with isn't as good as this guy.
So he's included.
There's a job.
There's a reason he's bagging groceries.
Right. He started for 2 years in Philly. Then he was in Cleveland in 16. He was in Miami last year. And
journeyman. Bum. Move on.
Career 84%, though.
That's pretty damn good.
How about this? Question number three. There are concerns about the field in
Mexico.
They're
going to keep them. They're going to keep
them. For Monday Night Football's matchup, Azteca Stadium apparently
is a mess.
Unless he
misses a big one this week against the Vikings.
Azteca Stadium in Mexico City
is
so
bad
that they're considering moving the game to L.A. Would you?
I mean, would I what?
If the field is
a real issue and you're worried about guys getting injured?
Rams game.
L.A.'s got fires everywhere.
I know, but that's how bad the stadium is.
So this is considered a home game for L.A.? So they couldn't move it to Kansas City because it's not a home game for Kansas City? Is that the
deal? I guess.
But if the field sucks, man, you can get some really good tacos down there.
Of course you can.
I don't know.
Taco tailgate?
Yeah, you have a great taco tailgate. Enchiladas. LA's a disaster.
Breakfast
right now.
Burrito.
Did you see the overhead shots of that Rams game? Smoke everywhere.
I don't know how you move it to LA. You fix the field.
Last
get some
sod. Last night in San Francisco, fans said they could smell the smoke. I mean, the entire state's on fire. So I would not move it to LA. No.
All right, two more questions. Offensive rookie of the year. Do you go Saquon Barkley right now? Combined 1,116 yards. He's got 5 touchdowns rushing the football, 4.5 yards a pop.
Or Baker, who.
In his last 4 games, 9 touchdowns with just 2 picks. He's up to 13 touchdowns, 7 picks.
The momentum is building for Baker. Yeah. I mean, if he has a really good second half of the season, and if it can't be any worse because Hugh Jackson is gone and he's not killing that offense. That offense is actually working now that Jackson's gone.
Probably
I think Baker's probably the leader.
Is Barkley going to get to 1,000 yards rushing? He's got 519.
Probably.
He's got 519.
No, he's got 586. I think after last night's game.
Oh, okay. This is not including last night.
586.
So he's probably going to get to 1,000.
Yeah.
And how many touchdowns does he have?
He has 7 combined.
If he gets 1,000 yards rushing and he has 12 or 13 total touchdowns, I don't know. Those are good numbers.
All right, last
one. That's
a
toss-up for me.
Question number 5. Up-and-coming teams, who would you rather be next year? The Colts this year, 4-5. Andrew Luck having a great comeback season. How about the Cleveland Browns, who have 3 really good rookies in Nick Chubb, Denzel Ward, and Baker Mayfield, or the 49ers, who will get Garoppolo back?
I'd rather be Andrew Luck.
I'd rather be Indy.
Because the best quarterback.
Here's what Andrew Luck does. He steps on the field, and he throws 3 touchdowns every week. At a minimum. That's his floor.
And
that's
what he
does. Sacked.
I'm going to agree.
They don't care about the running game. The running game's an afterthought. It's all Andrew Luck all the time. I'd rather have him.
Andrew Luck's going to throw 40 touchdowns this year.
It's impossible to ever want to be the Browns.
Yes.
Correct.
And Frank Reich, he might be a silly coach.
He knows the strength of that
Eagles
team.
Eagles might be missing him.
It's looking that way.
It's definitely hurt them. And they lost, DeFilippo, too.
That's right.
A couple coaches.
Yep.
That hurt them.
All right, coming up next, we will switch gears. We'll open up the entertainment page right here on the Junkies on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.